Welcome to the Called to Go podcast, where we give travelers and missionaries from all walks of life a space to talk about how they prepared for and faced risks of all kinds on the road, both practically and spiritually. I'm your host, Shane Moon, and in every episode, we hear firsthand stories of faith, preparation, and real-world experience from people who have gone, sometimes to the ends of the earth, to see or to serve. Today's episode is a conversation with Pastor Glenn Miller, who has been married to Stacy for over 42 years. They have 6 children, and their 11th grandchild is on the way. Glenn has pastoral, marketplace, and academic ministry experiences, laying a foundation for his pastoral training emphasis with Global Training Network, or GTN. The vision of GTN is to equip and encourage thousands of indigenous church planters, pastors, and Christian leaders around the world in the years to come. These pastors will in turn equip and encourage their congregations towards spiritual health, vibrancy, and multiplication. Glenn has been serving as a trainer with GTN for 8 years. Today, we're exploring his perspective on his calling to go, faith, risk, and life. Let's dive in. So, Glenn, for our listeners today who have been called to go, and of course, based on your travel experiences, what are your top 3 safety and security moves while you're on the road?
Okay. Probably the thing that gives me the most, that helps my prayer life the most, is connections at airports. Because especially when I go into an airport for the first time, I am not confident in a way of, you know, where things are. So that impacts the way I look around, you know, and I think, oh, what if I go to exchange money or something like that? Is someone going to be watching me? So until I get to know the airport, the connections at the airport, that's probably one of the biggest things for me. Of course, that goes away when I get real familiar with the airport.
Sure. That's good.
So that's one thing. The other thing is just hit me. And that is the sudden political changes that can happen in countries. And there was just something that took place on October 29th when there was a general election at a country that I was just leaving on October 26th. And had I remained through the election time, it would have been really dicey to get out. So if there's a political change that takes place, general elections can be, you know, can spark some of that unrest. So that would be number 2. And the other thing is more like a concern would be, you know, what's going to happen in the future? We went through COVID, you know, several years back, and countries were closed to go. So yeah. Like, is that going to happen again? Or is there going to be a future requirement for some kind of immunization or whatever that I don't want to get? You know, it's just like, how will this actually affect me in the future?
Yeah. Yeah. So trying to kind of pay attention and maybe forecast to the best you can some of those black swan type events, maybe.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really good. I like that. That's a good mindset, and I appreciate you sharing that. And again, of course, you know, thanks so much, Glenn, for joining me on our podcast today. Thanks for making the time, and I'm definitely looking forward to chatting with you today.
Well, I appreciate your ministry, Shane, as I've told you a number of times. And when I had the opportunity, when you asked me to come on, I thought, you know, this is an investment in the kingdom, and you're doing good work. So I'm very glad to be able to be a part of this.
I love that. Yeah, thank you so much. And yeah, for our listeners, with our ministry, Strategic Global Commissioning, we've supported Pastor Glenn for a couple of years now, I think. It was,
yes.
You know. Yeah, going strong. And Pastor Glenn, he travels fairly often. His ministry brings him to several different countries with GTN. And yeah, it's going to be really good talking with you today. So let's kick it off. When did you know that you were called to go, so to speak?
Well, that's kind of like a slam dunk, and I'm going to date myself. But I was saved in 1977. I was married in 1983. And 5 years later, I had the opportunity to go to Tanzania with a group of 3 to research for unreached people groups. This was in 1988.
Okay.
And I remember going through a study, My Utmost for His Highest by Oswald Chambers. Stacy was going through that here in the States, and then I was going through it in Tanzania. And we would talk about, you know, each of those devotionals while we were apart. And I really felt a strong calling, so that Tanzania became deeper and went deeper and deeper into my heart. So I would say that that would be in July of 1988 would be when I really first felt called.
Hmm. That's really good. You know, tell me about your life before that sort of moment and your connection with Stacy. What was going on then?
Well, in 77, before 77, when I was saved, I was a wild man. I worked at a factory back on the East Coast. And, you know, you had to be tough. Faith was not something that was revered. So when I got saved in 77, I there was a lot of resistance there from the guys I worked with. And I just had to, you know, grow in my faith. And so 77 was an interesting time. Of course, 83, when I was married to Stacy, that changed my life quite a bit because I was no longer, you know, footloose and fancy free. I had responsibilities now, you know. And then we had children 3 years later. So in 1988, when I went to Tanzania, we already had two little ones. And so leaving them, of course, including Stacy, was a big, big deal. I mean, we left for 5.5 weeks in 1988. So that was a fairly long, short-term missions trip for the first time out.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I love that you led in your bio, you know, your 42-year marriage. What a blessing. And then, you know, again, your six children and your extended and extending or branches from there. That's, and I know your family is very important to you. So
yes,
that's obviously part of the pivotal, you know, moment of when you were called to go. Tell me about Tanzania. Is that your main focus area? Is that your primary calling, would you say?
Yes. And I've had other experiences in other parts of the world. My first trip was to do some theological education for a group of people in Minsk, Belarus. And then I was in New Delhi, India.
Okay.
And then years later I joined GTN. So I had experience in prior to joining GTN in theological education in two other countries. So that was, you know, one of those preparation times for this work. And then in 2018 is when Stacy and I joined GTN. And then we went to Rwanda. I also went to Sri Lanka. And then at that point, after Sri Lanka, I was introduced to a gentleman in Tanzania and this partnership that we have now with Africa Inland Church of Tanzania and NASA Theological and Technical College, as well as GTN, had then formed. So since that collaboration started, I've been pretty much full-time in Tanzania, with the exception of a couple different trips that I've taken.
Okay. Yeah. And that's a really solid part of that multiplication part of the vision for GTN, which I love. That's great. Well, let's count the cost. What would you say that it has taken to obey your call to go, specifically in Tanzania and really just broadly speaking with your work with GTN?
You know, I've had an interesting and varied background. When I went to Tanzania in 1988, I was working with a life insurance company, which doesn't show up in my bio because it was just a short time. But during that time in the life insurance business, I was transitioning out of that factory work, and I ended up doing very well, you know, in selling life insurance and annuities. And so when we went down to Bible College, I was leaving probably the best income that I had ever had in our young married life. So, but then when I went down to Bible College for 3 years, I was talking to a lot of people there and I found out, oh man, the price I paid was not near what the other people, you know, the other students were paying. So it was a very humbling experience just to talk to a lot of the students in Bible college. But I would say income-wise, I left the best income that I ever had. But there was a pastor who mentored me when I was in the local church serving as an elder, and he recommended this mission school because after the Tanzania trip, I recognized this call in my life and that I needed to get more education in the area of missions and at least get a an undergrad degree. So I went to this mission school in South Carolina, and it was really a great experience for us.
I love that. And was Stacy, you know, on board with your call to the missions field from the start, or did she ever challenge any part of those decision-making processes, or did anybody challenge you?
That's a great question. You know, the missions trip for 5.5 weeks, that was okay. You know, like people saw that, they thought, wow, you know, Glenn's going on this missions trip. You know, he used to be a wild man, and now what's going on with him, you know? So they thought, all right, well, this will probably pass. But when we started planning on returning to Tanzania full time, then there was this talk with my siblings that went something like, you know, mom and dad really don't want you to take their grandkids to East Africa, you know? And so there was kind of like this guilt trip that we started feeling through my siblings. And you know, of course, they're thinking, yeah, we're not even sure if this Christianity thing is even going to work for Glenn, you know? I mean, he's been pretty flighty in the past. So where's this all going to go? And, you know, he's going to take his family over to East Africa, and mom and dad are going to, it's going to kill them, you know? So that was one of those moments where I just really had to listen to the right, you know, the right message in my own head, you know, what are we going to do?
You know, that's an interesting crossroads, I think, when you're trying to be faithful and you're trying to listen to the Holy Spirit. Sometimes the apparent or visible decisions you're making just don't make sense to maybe even people that are closest to you. You know, that's a tough one. Yeah,
exactly. Yes.
So have there ever been moments that you've, you know, I don't know, changed your mind or almost felt like you just maybe you should turn back, and especially on the financial front? I mean, that's an interesting but very real, you know, data point for when you're making these types of decisions. But any moments like that?
Well, initially, you know, once we joined up with GTN, they encouraged us to build our support. And of course, this is a big, big part of the work that we're doing because it's a faith-based mission. And, you know, we have to build our support. So it was very daunting to think up front that we were going to build support and to even ask people to, you know, to fund us. I had, I worked at the factory. I had a salary. I worked as a pastor. I had a salary as a pastor. Well, now I'm going into a situation where I have to ask people for my salary. And how's that going to go? But we had some really good training, and we started studying the scriptures, and we realized, you know, this whole idea of building support is something that's very common both in Old and New Testaments. So, you know, it didn't seem like it was unnatural after we studied the Word of God and started moving into this whole new realm of ministry. So I would say there was some resistance to even get going. There were some big family challenges that took place as soon as we joined GTN, and it kind of threw us off the progression of going out and seeing people, sharing the vision that God had given. And of course, at that point, the vision was not really as clear as it is now. So when we first started with GTN, it's like, okay, what do I tell people? It almost feels like this is a manufactured thing, you know, this vision. But, you know, God is faithful, and he allowed us to go through that period of time and become fully funded. Of course, that can change from time to time. Yeah. But, you know, being fully funded is really important. Also, to have a vision to be vision driven. That's another one of those really important parts of the work that I'm doing. And then to be spiritually healthy was another one of those things that I really wanted to attain to, because I knew I was getting into, you know, pressures that I had never experienced before in my life with international travel.
Yeah, I love that. And you made me think of, I think, as you know, my day job is a fundraiser with a large human services nonprofit, and then getting ready to transition into full-time ministry with Strategic Global Commissioning. But yeah, that's something I've learned, you know, over the last 6 years in fundraising is, and there's a, I think you've probably read it or at least heard of it, that book, it's a short book called The Spirituality of Fundraising. And it really, a guy named Henry Nouwen, he outlines a really strong case for, as you said, for fundraising as a ministry and as a sort of a sacred, you know, mission and a very spiritual exercise or activity. I would, you know, and I'm sure you could attest to this, that it's a very humbling,
Gary,
that's a very humbling experience to approach somebody from a place of need in order to fulfill this vision and this calling that God's placed in your life. Any really tough moments in your raising support and trying to move forward in full-time ministry?
One of the things that I learned, and I don't want to focus too much on the really, really tough stuff. One of the things that I learned going through this process of building funds is that you have to have a vision first before you can go out there and ask for support. So to be vision driven is huge. So then once we're driven by that vision, then I realized that where I expected the funds to come from didn't really come from those places. The resources follow vision, but then the resources to meet the need of the vision will come from unexpected places. And whenever I think that the funds are going to come from one place, it's like, no, God says no. You know, it's going to come from another place that you never expected, you know? So, yeah, it's been a surprise all along the way, pleasantly, but it's been a process of completely depending on the Lord for his resources, and they often come from unexpected places.
That's so good. Yeah, I think truer words have not been spoken. You know, obviously through this journey, and like you said, you've been definitely doing this for several years now, you know, over 30 years, obviously. So let's talk about, you made a comment there about not getting too focused on some of the toughest stuff, but let's talk about it. Let's talk about some of those really tough things.
Okay.
When over the, you know, those decades of ministry experience and obedience to God's, you know, vision and calling in your life, when has it really just been the hardest to just keep going?
Interestingly enough, it's become the hardest probably within the last year or year and a half. And this is a point where I had to deal with some of my own baggage, some of my own weaknesses, you know, because the pressures of international travel will lead some people to become anxious. And there was a time when I first started with GTN that I'm thinking, I'm this Rambo kind of guy. I'm just going to go out there and, you know, but then it was a certain point in time, a couple of years back, where it started getting a little bit, I started feeling a little bit more anxious about international travel. And I called some people who I knew were missionaries, and they said, well, get your itinerary out, pray through each of your connections, you know, do all these things spiritually, you know, pray, pray, pray. But what I learned was big time. Last October, and you know, I'm just going to dive right into this because you want to know, you know, the tough stuff.
Yeah.
Last October, Stacy and I were dealing with relational things within our marriage, within our family life, and the rhythm of going on international trainings 3 or 4 times a year was tough to establish that rhythm. You know, so I would leave, Stacy would stay. Stacy would be with family when I was gone. She would travel to family members that were in another part of Central Oregon. Mm-hmm. And so then I come back and, you know, this whole thing was connected. It was hard to connect after a while of that. Mm. So I went to a prayer meeting back at our church in Pennsylvania last October. And I was sitting in this prayer meeting with people that I didn't really even know. And I really believe the Lord spoke to me in my spirit. And he said, you know, my strength is made perfect in weakness. And when I heard that, I thought, what in the world does that mean? It was very clear, like it was coming right from the Lord. It was very random, you know, so the way the Lord speaks to me sometimes is like out of the clear blue. It doesn't fit with the context necessarily, but here we go. He said that. And then I said, well, then that means that if I want your power to be made perfect in my ministry, then I need to be weak. And then I heard myself praying, Lord, make me weak. And the people that were around me were people that didn't really know me that well, you know. So that next Wednesday, I went over to Tanzania, and this is October 2024. And as soon as I got there, I got sick. And I started feeling this thickness in my throat, and then I lost my voice, and I couldn't even train. So the Lord was saying, see, you know, you asked me to. You asked for this, right? So then I thought, okay, thank you. That was an answer to prayer. So, but that wasn't all. When I got back home is when I really had to confront this emotional disconnect with Stacy. Mm. And I felt, coming from my background and my family of origin, that I was really at a deficit to know how to connect emotionally with my wife and my children. Mm-hmm. And all of this came down in these moments last year, around October. So that put us on a journey of getting some counseling, understanding how to emotionally connect. And, you know, we're married now for like over 41 years. And I'm thinking, I shouldn't have to be dealing with this right now, you know. Mm-hmm. But the scripture talks about in Ephesians, I believe it is, to be strengthened in the inner man. And I realized that it's not just about Bible verses. It's not just about the disciplines of prayer. It's about the emotional well-being as well as the spiritual and the mental and the physical. Mm. Yeah, so that was a big, big thing because I realized there was a huge deficit in that area in my life. So God was saying, here is your weakness. But I can be made, my power can be made perfect in your weakness if you will submit that part, if you will yield that part to me, and I will show you now how to connect with your wife and your kids.
Mm. That's so good. And you know, of course, I appreciate you sharing that. That, you know, and I feel that very deeply. As you know, I think, you know, I was in the military. Did a career in the military, and I often reference to people that I was gone for roughly close to 9 years of my time of 20 years. And yeah, I feel that deeply, that your experience as far as being on the road and then how do you reconnect, you know? And but I would say that if weakness is a 42, you know, and going strong your marriage, then yeah, Lord, make me weak as well.
Yeah, and that's a hard prayer to let come out of your mouth, you know, because it's almost like I knew when I left that prayer meeting that something was going to be changing. Something was already changing in my life. Like, all right, now I'm bringing it to light. Now, God, work on me, you know. And yeah, he didn't waste any time, that's for sure.
Well, you know, what's really inspiring, I think, about this time, and even as recently as, you know, like you said, within the last year, that you're still continuing to follow that vision and follow that calling in your life, while also being, you know, being a godly man, doing what a godly man should do, and submitting and asking for help, you know, going to the source, you know, especially while you're feeling weak, or you're acknowledging maybe that weakness that was there all along. So that's a tough but really special place to be.
Well, it you know, in the church environment, which I've been involved in, you know, since 1977, even before that, I went to another church as a child. But when I really started cutting my teeth spiritually, it was 1977 on. So it's like, that's a long time. And I felt like if I was facing a difficulty, I needed to pray more. I needed to read the scripture more. I needed to get my theological pencil sharpened a little bit more. And I realized that I had overlooked other aspects of my life, and I wasn't even connecting with the love of God. That was the hardest thing to come to grips with. You know, I was serving God and serving God and serving God, but I felt empty. And, you know, there are so many demands in your life, whether it's the military life or it's missions, you know, international travel, and you're depleted inside and you're not experiencing God's love, then, you know, you don't have God's love to give to others. So that's a lot. And I know that's a whole other, you know, topic, but, you know, you asked me about the toughest thing, and I think it's been just recently.
Yeah. Well, that's real. And again, I appreciate you sharing that. I think that, you know, for people who, and that, you know, that's the context of this podcast, is that call to go, that can mean some really tough stuff, you know. Well, and you mentioned that you feel like God spoke to you pretty clearly and pretty directly, even though at first you were sort of like, what does that mean? Overall, how, if you had to sort of sum it up or get into it a little bit, how do you think God's really met you, even in this most recent place?
Well, it's probably the area of trust. You know, am I going to trust God with me, with who I am? Mm-hmm. And you know, I can't really trust other people unless I trust God.
Yeah, that's good.
And so that's probably the biggest thing after knowing the Lord so long. Am I going to trust God fully in this area, you know, of weakness? And am I going to be vulnerable? Am I going to open up to Him and let Him do the work that He needs to do? And in some ways, it's like being, you know, it's undergoing open heart surgery. You know, you're, you know, someone else is completely in control. That surgeon is opening you up, and you're completely, you know, oblivious to what's going on. So when God is starting to do that kind of work, then, oh my word, I'm not in control of this. I've got to give complete control to the Lord. And that's really the point of that, where humility, you know, is so important. It's where the rubber meets the road to trust. That is our humility.
Well, and you mentioned sort of, you know, your upbringing, you know, a bit in that context of the time that you were born and raised. And I don't think, and I think there's still vestiges of that in sort of the modern theory of man and what a man looks like or should look like.
Yes.
And it's ultimately not, and maybe it's never been perceived as this posture of humility, of submission, of need, you know, in regular life, let alone in spiritual life, and submission to God and asking for a radical prayer, like, make me weak, you know, so I can depend on you more, Lord. And so, yeah, that's very, you know, it's very counterculture for sure.
Yeah. And, you know, going over to East Africa, where it's a very hierarchical kind of culture in the church, where, you know, it when you reach the top, you know, you've got, in a sense, the most power. But the power of God is not in the structures of the church. It's in humility, you know? And to go over there and to be real and to be vulnerable with the East Africans, it is really transforming the influence that God is giving in this ministry. And because people feel safe in that environment, you know, they know that Glenn is not, you know, out there to, you know, with an agenda. I mean, he's got work to do, but it's all about connection. It's all about relationships in ministry, in missions. You know, it's just a natural reflection about what's going on in our own families, actually.
I love that. And I think between the lines, the sort of subtext of that is, and you hinted at that, but your influence, your witness to the people that you're ministering to and with, training, what a powerful thing that they're seeing just real life. They're not seeing sort of a hyper curated or, you know, trimmed up, framed up version of Glenn. They're seeing who you are and where you're at.
Well, yeah, and I mentioned too, Shane, that I was experiencing anxiety before I went on these training circuits. Mm-hmm. Well, once I started doing that work, it's like my inner man, it became so much more quiet, you know? The all of the noise inside me just started really subsiding. Like I didn't feel that angst, you know, because the emotional part of my life was quieting down. I was trusting. I was, you know, I was becoming, I was feeling loved by God. And so that then I didn't experience that anxiety, not near as much. I mean, there's always that feeling like, well, did you do enough getting ready for this travel experience? Did you do this? Did you get your visa? Did, you know, all this other. But once I've done everything that I can do, I'm at peace. And I can get on that plane and start my journey, and I don't have to feel that anxiety anymore.
Yeah, that's so good. That's so powerful. You know, I think that's a great sort of segue into how you've changed and this transformation process throughout decades of ministry work. And I love that you just said your inner man is just quieter. Any other areas of your faith that you feel like are stronger?
You know, one of the things that a missions speaker said back at the church a long time ago, back in Pennsylvania, he said, and this has to do with calling, mm-hmm. I think, so not to go back, but he used this phrase, are you willing to go but planning to stay, or are you planning to go but willing to stay? And it's a mindset now. My mindset is, I am planning to go. If something happens like COVID and I've got to stay, all right, I'm willing to stay, but I'm actually, my mindset, my orientation now is I'm planning to go. And with that decision being made, it makes other decisions easier, you know? I'm not struggling as much with some of the minor details because I'm already planning to go. You know, God's going to work out these other things in my life. And if he closes the door ever, if he ever closes the door, well, then I remain in this posture of, hey, I'm planning to go, but I'm willing to stay, whatever the Lord wants, you know, from my life right now. So I know I'm speaking in like concepts and maybe bigger picture stuff, but those bigger decisions having been made make all the smaller decisions easier.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's a certainly, you know, refined and or this that mindset has sort of evolved over your time in ministry that allows you maybe to kind of camp out in some of those bigger picture, like strategic kind of viewpoints. Because of that, like you said, that inner man is a lot quieter now. You're not fussing or as anxious, like you said, about some of those details. Certainly with wisdom, I think just, you know, years in life brings that to an extent, but that's really good. Well, let's talk about more specifically GTN, you know, Global Training Network, you know, sort of the current context of your mission. Just let's talk to our listeners a little bit about what you do and why it matters.
When I first started with GTN, Shane, I was looking for where my place was in this organization. And GTN leadership was wise enough to not direct people. Encouraging people is their mode of operation, but to not direct them to do certain things. You know, theological education is definitely the pinnacle of what we do. So we're training church leaders theologically so that they can be mature and that they can then lead mature churches, and then those mature churches can reproduce. But, you know, they're not telling us where to go. It's like, okay, you're called, you're mature, you have a lot of life experience, God will direct you. And so God directed me, you know, more specifically to Tanzania. So we built this collaboration with the Africa Inland Church of Tanzania, AICT. And then we started teaching a curriculum from one of their own Bible colleges, Nassau Theological and Technical College. And so GTN is providing the trainers to teach the curriculum from NTTC to train the Africa Inland Church of Tanzania church leaders. So that's the focus right now of what I'm doing. And it's a full-time job. You know, there's an 11-hour difference in time zones. So when I wake up in the morning, I'll have WhatsApp messages on my phone, you know, and I'm answering those. So the first things, you know, if I'm up early in the morning, they're there. And my day usually gets off to a fairly early start because of that time zone difference.
So let's unpack that. Your day starts with, you know, getting caught up on messages from a time, you know, many time zones away. But what's that overall typical day look like for you when you're training in Tanzania and you have your voice?
Well, we have, you know, we have GTN trainers. So there's this domestic part of the ministry where I'm encouraging our leaders and our trainers developing a schedule for the trainings. We usually train 3 times a year in Tanzania. So we have to fund 7 different regions. We have to provide trainers for those 7 different regions. And so I'm working with, you know, people here in the States, but then we're also desiring to pass the baton to the nationals. So there's a guy that I have right now. We call him the ambassador for GTN in Tanzania. Really, he's a country coordinator.
Okay.
And so what I'm doing right now is helping him to lead, to train the directors of the training venues all over Tanzania. And, you know, he needs to be encouraged. He needs to be funded. You know, I mean, we can't just ask people to volunteer, you know, full time to something that they're not, you know, receiving any funds for. So there is fundraising for our ambassador as well as our own raising of funds. So it's interesting because I'm finding much more joy in helping the ambassador over in Tanzania get the funds that he needs, you know, even realizing that we have needs too. Stacy and I have needs too, but we're trusting God to meet those needs as we are focusing on the ministry. You know, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you. So fundraising is a big deal, of course. And, you know, passing the baton now to the nationals, because eventually we want them to this to be self-sustaining for them.
Yeah. You're generally ministering and training so you don't have a job. That's the goal, is for the Tanzanians to take, like you said, take the baton, correct?
Yes. And you know, that I have to get over myself. You know, I have to realize that I'm really, in a sense, I'm only incidental in this process. You know, God gave the vision, but it's not even my vision, it's God. You know, God is the one who's going to cause the growth. So I just listen to what the Lord's telling me to do. And there have been times when I've just come up against this big, big challenge, like, what do I do about this? I need someone in country to be able to take the ball from here. So then I called this brother in Nairobi, Kenya, who knows East Africa, and he said, well, what about having an ambassador? And it's like, yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. So I have to be open to other, you know, counsel from different people that, you know, I'd never expect to get that counsel from, but that's the way the Lord provides his resources.
Yeah, it's good. Really good. Tell me about, you know, I'm sure you've got plenty of experiences to draw from, but any recent moments where you felt like, you kind of alluded to one with training the ambassador position, but tell me about any recent moments where you sort of had this moment where you realized this is why I'm doing what I'm doing. This is why I'm here.
Just last month, I left for Tanzania in early October. And as soon as I got in the country, I hit the ground running. This would be a typical training circuit for me. The next morning after my first night in Tanzania, I met with the Archbishop of the Africa Inland Church. And of course, I had this big agenda that I wanted to have to share with him. But our ambassador, his name is Malaki, he said, let's just have a good time. Let's just have a lot of good feelings in our conversation and then make it brief. And so, boom, we had a really nice conversation. I left, felt good. Then we went to, we traveled 6 hours to another location in Tanzania. We had a graduation of 67 people in that. Then we didn't even have enough time to stay for the entire graduation before we had to leave. And then the next day, we left for another area of Tanzania and trained for 2 weeks and brought those students to the finish line. So then we had another graduation of 37 people. And when I saw the joy on the faces of the people, and I can share a video of this graduation in Tanzania, where I had been given, well, actually, through Mega Voice, I had audio Bibles that I gave as graduation gifts. And I was able to put, you know, and they had lanyards, so I put them around their neck, and they were Swahili Bibles, and they had a couple of other programs loaded up, and they just looked so joyful. And when I saw the accomplishment that they had done, and getting through that tough time of 2 to 3 years of theological education, it just said to me, now I know why I went through the pastoral, you know, challenges that I did. Now I know why I worked for a Christian university and got academic background. So I could see where God was taking me step by step, connecting the dots. And then I say, this is what I'm supposed to do. This is where the most meaning is for vocational ministry for me.
Yeah, I love that. And ultimately, so thankful for your weakness in moments like that, because, you know, like you said, we can run with our agendas all over the place, even sometimes running roughshod over what God's really called us to be, even if it's a small part, or maybe it's a big part of this, you know, of his will. I imagine, you know, reflecting on some of the challenges, even back on the home front, that's where you're thankful for God's weakness. I know for a fact, you know, that's where I have been many times in life, is thankful that God humbled me. I was able to stay out of the way, and then God used me in spite of my, you know, of my shortcomings to accomplish his will. It's really good.
Yeah. That's good stuff. I mean, Jesus was gentle and lowly, you know, and I know that some of us as men, you know, we want to lead our families and we want to be the leader of our families. And sometimes we drive our families more than we lead them. And, you know, part of this process of going back to my family of origin with Stacy, our own family of six kids, I realized I think I drove the family more than I led the family. And that wasn't a gentle and lowly approach to raising our family. So I've gone back to our kids, and I've apologized, and I've said to them, you know, even just the other day, I said, I have some deficits in my life from my own family of origin, and I pass them along to you, son. And he said to me, I so appreciate you saying that to me, you know, Dad. Mm. And it caused this connection that I haven't had in a long time.
Mm. I love that. As you continue to lead, Glenn, may the Lord be with you. I love that. That's really good.
Thank you.
Yeah, for sure. Well, hey, let's, you know, as we sort of start to wrap up here, what sort of a challenge would you give to someone who's wondering if they've been truly called?
Yeah, there's no way that you can theoretically instill a calling on people's lives. And I think that's why short-term missions is so important, so that people can get to the country, experience the culture, smell the smells, you know, eat the food, do all those things that will give a person a personal experience at another culture. Mm. So I would say exposure to another culture is so important. I mean, the Western culture here in the States is so vastly different than other cultures. And people that have been in the military, you know, and they've gone to other countries, they know this.
Sure. Yeah.
But it's just usually dipping your toe into the culture and then coming back. But, you know, dip your toe into the culture, but then see what the Lord does with that. You know, so I'd say someone might be struggling with this kind of a calling. Go on a short-term trip and taste the experience personally.
Yeah, I love that. Just go. Yeah. Just go.
Yeah. Plan to go, but be willing to stay, you know?
Yeah, so good. I love that. Thank you so much for sharing that wisdom too, because that is truly powerful. Well, this has been a great conversation, Glenn. I just so appreciate you. But let me ask you one final question. How can people reach out and connect with you?
So they can go to gtn.org/Miller, mm-hmm. and you can contact us through that website. It's our own personal website for the GTN overall, you know, mm-hmm. site. So, you know, there can reach out to us with messages or even give to the ministry. gtn.org/Miller is the place to go to get in contact with us.
That's great. I love that. And hopefully our listeners have enjoyed this conversation, and they definitely reach out and connect with you guys. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry about that.
I've really enjoyed, you know, the conversation with you, Shane. It's always, always good. Very conversational, very relational to talk with you.
I love it. Well, thanks again. And we'll wrap us up. Hey, thanks again for joining us on the Call to Go podcast. If you found today's conversation meaningful, please consider subscribing, leaving a review, or sharing this episode with someone who might be preparing to serve or to travel. You can also connect with us about SGC through our website at www.strategicglobalcommissioning.org, or about the Call to Go podcast through our email at callthegopodcast@gmail.com. Until next time, stay wise, stay faithful, and stay ready to go.